Last time we spoke about the two different types of batei dinim. There are the two methods of settling disputes. One is a regular bezin of three appointed people who sit and paskin shchoshim mishpat shailos. And the other is where there's no formal court. It's that one of the parties chooses his judge, the other party chooses his judge, together they choose a third one, and that's called zabla. In halacha, which one is better? In a perfect world, the zabla bezmin, the Gemara calls your, you take the din, comes out of mito, it's yotza din la mito, the Gemara Sanhedrin, yes, din la mito, that's the Gemara Sanhedrin says by a zabla bezmin, because the different shatim we learned. The wrong shot is to say that each one acts as a lawyer for the interest of his Balvin. That's not what happens. But if we say that he is going to try his hardest to have true tainus to help out his Balvin, and the other one's going to try to find the true tainus to help out his Balvin without any monkey business, and just to try to get it, be patient and come down to the right decision, and you come out to a better decision in a Zabla Bezdin. Nevertheless, we saw that the halacha is the Ramah Paskins that when there is a bezin kavua, when there's an established bezin in the town, so that has kedima over even over a zabla bezin, and if there's a bezin kavua, the defendant can't say no, I want to have a zabla. He has to go to the bezin kavua. That's the way the Ramah Paskin. If it's not a bezin kavua, it's a choice of going to three Chashav people, Talmidei Chachamim, versus Zabla. So there we said Zabla has, under normal circumstances, would have the advantage, assuming it's a perfect world, that the Zabla is working properly. We're going to talk the next 2 weeks about some of the typical problems that come up with a Zabla, but in a perfect world, the Zabla would work better. But even in the perfect world, the Bezin Kavua has Kedima, priority over a Zabla type of bezin. Tonight we're going to talk about what makes something into a bezin kavua. What does it mean that it's a bezin kavua? I mean, the words mean it's an established bezin. Meaning that it's not just you taking three people off the street and making a bezin. This is a bezin kavua. It has a building, it has a place where they meet. Right, that's what you think of when you think of a bezin kavua. We have to see in halacha what the halacha calls a bezin kavua, and then once we see that, then we'll know how it fits into the last time halacha from last year that has priority over zabla. But first, we have to see what a bezin kavua is. And before I start, I'm going to say that I'm not going to be talking about any specific batei dinim that I know about. I'm just going to be talking about the halachas that, as we learn them, the rishonim, the achronim, based on the gemaras, and any relationship to batei dinim that you might know about is only coincidental. I'm just saying the halachas, and I really I'm not going to talk about whether that's a bezin kavua or this is a bezin kavua. You know, I don't know any inside information to know the answers, because you see it's complicated to know what makes a bezin kavua. So we're just going to do the halachas, and then if you have any shailas whether something's a bezin kavua or not, you can ask your local Orthodox rabbi. Okay, so what's a bezin kavua? How do you appoint a dayan? That's really the question. How do you appoint a dayan? Now, we already learned that any three people, if one of them at least is a gomer v'saver, one knows halacha, and he has two other people that can be supporting with him. You know, they can at least talk to them. They understand, right? That the way we explained what the way the three work. Any three people have the power to be a bezin. If I have a complaint against someone, I could take three people. Any three people that I could go to the yeshiva and get three people from the kollel, or get a rebbe of mine, or a rosh yeshiva, and with two others, and they can summon my disputant to a din Torah. Right? They have the right to do that. Any three people who are qualified to know the halachas of Hashem Mishpat, once again, even if one is the one that knows the halachas, but the other two will be there to his talmidim, whatever, they have the power of authority of a bezin. And if you refuse to come to that summons from that bezin that I got together, they could write a ksav siruv. They could say that you are contempt of court. They can do all the things that we do to people that don't come to a din Torah, even though they're not a real desin. They never sat in a din Torah in their lives. You just pick three people, and they can force someone to come to judgment in front of them. Now, of course, the nitva, the defendant, has the option of saying, "Look, these three people I don't know. I want to go to a different three people." Like we learned about whether they're bigger talmid chachamim or not, machok the smag and the Torah. We paskin that he can even say, "I want to go to another three people who aren't as chashiv as the three people you chose. They're not as knowledgeable." You can then say, "Well, so let's come to some terms and we'll find a three that we both agree upon." Or, like we said last time, the defendant could say, "I want to do Zabla. I want to choose my Dayan, you choose your Dayan, and together they'll choose the third Dayan." Right? You can do that. So, but any three people have the ability to be a Bezdin. The question we're asking is, what makes something, an entity, a Bezdin, where not only can they summon someone to come in front of them, but that person can't refuse and can't counteroffer with another bezin or a counteroffer with a sabla? What makes something a bezin kavua? So there's a Tashbeit. He bases this on a Gemara in Brachas. Well, let's read the Gemara first in Brachas. It's Nogea this week's Parsha. Amar Rav Yitzchak. Rav Yitzchak said, "Eima midin pinus ala tzibur." You're not allowed to appoint a leader over the community, unless you consult the whole community. Because the pasuk says in this week's parasha, "Re'u kara Hashem b'shem Betzalel." Look, Hashem has proclaimed by name Betzalel. What's shot over there in the pasuk? "Amlo karash baruch Moshe." Hashem said to Moshe, "Moshe, hagun olecha Betzalel." Is Betzalel the right man to build the Mishkan? "Amar lo," Moshe said to Hashem, "Ribono shel olam, if you hold he's okay, the Fanaila Koshin, certainly I hold he's okay." So Amar Lo, Hashem said back to Moshe, "Afa pikein lechem arlehem." Nevertheless, go to say, to ask the people, Bnei Yisrael, and ask them if they consider him worthy to be in charge of building the Mishkan. Holach v'amelam Yisrael. Moshe went and said to Yisrael, "Hogan alechem Betzalel. Is Betzalel worthwhile and worthy to build the Mishkan?" Amar Lo, he said to him, "If Hashem holds he's good and you hold he's good, he's certainly good enough for us." So from this Gemara, we see a rule that Eima Midin, like the Gemara says, from your Yitzchak says, from this pasuk, we have a rule, Eima Midin Parnas Al Tzibur, we don't appoint any person to have any position in the community unless the community votes for him, votes him in. That's the rule of Rav Yitzchak. So the Tashbeit uses this Gemara to complain about the way the Rivash became the Dayan in his town. Now, how does that affect us? So the Tashbeit said that he had a tshuva from someone who had appointed the Rivash to be the Dayan in his town. And the Tashbeit has a long tshuva saying that it wasn't done right because you were a single person who said, "Okay, you want the Rivash," without consulting with the community. And he says like this, even if the person who's being appointed is a mufli, he's a gadol hadar, and the person, this was Rabbeinu Shaul, who appointed him, was also a great person. So it's still proper, before you appoint him as a dayan, that you should consult with the tzibur before you appoint him. Shakadosh Baruch Hu eino memane parnes al tzibur, because Hashem didn't appoint the parnes, ela im kein nimach v'hem, unless he consulted with the tzibur. Kadaminon perakara, like we learned in the Gemara and Brachas that we just said. So that's what the Tashbeit says. The Knesset Gadolah brings this down. He says, "Eino memane parnes al tzibur, ela im kein nimachim im tzibur tchila." He says the same halacha. This is in Simen Ches, the Hilchos Dayanim. And then he says, "I saw this tshuva about how the Rabbeinu Shaul had appointed the Rivash as a dayan kavua, and it was wrong because he didn't consult with the tzibur first." So this is a number one way to appoint a dayan kavua, and that is you take a vote from all the people in the town, and of course not everyone, it doesn't have to be unanimous, but if the majority of the people in the town vote that this person should be the dayan, so he becomes the dayan kavua of that town. Right? That's from the Knesset Agdola, based on this Gemara and Brachas. Now, this is also the Ramah seems to hold this way. The Ramah in Simon Ches also says he was talking about a case where they don't have any people that are really know the halacha well. So, what do you do in such a case? That's our kol sheva surya. We learned about that. But the Ramah's lashon is mimanim hatovim halchachamim shebahem. You appoint the best that you can find in the town, and then the sma puts in, because this is really the Ramah got this from the Beis Yosef, who said this lashon ledas anshei ha'ir, with a consultation of the people of the city. The kibbutz shekibul alim b'nei ha'ir, once the people of the city accepted these dayonim, as the dayonim ein echad yochel apaslan, no one could paslan, they became the dayonim. The Aruch HaShulchan also says the dayonim are nismanu mei ha'ir, and that seems to be from this contemporary sefer Dinei Boros. He says that you see this is the way to appoint dayonim kavuim, abezim kavua, is that you get direct elections from the city, and once they're elected, they become the dayonim kavuim of this town. That is a perfect world way to make a besin kavua. Now, you know, the truth is, it's not. If you have someone that you trust, right, you don't have to have, you know, secret ballots with all the things, you know, with the tipping the thumbs in and all that. You know, let's look at where it comes from. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, go ask Klal Yisrael. Now, what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? I don't know if he asked every single person and you know, wrote it down the tally. He knows the people that, you know, generally the different types of people around. What do you think of a tally? What do you think of a tally? And he's able to get a sense of what the will of the community is. If you have someone who's honest, they can get the sense of the community. The Tashbatz's taina against Rabbeinu Shaul was that he just did it on his own. He didn't ask anyone. He just chose the Rivash, even though the Rivash is the Gadol Hadar, but with choosing without consulting with the Tzibur, that's where Hillel was wrong. Right? That is one way to make Dayanu Kavui. Once again, it's not the only way. We'll see. Otherwise, it would only be a 15-minute share. We're going to see other ways now. Right? This is the one way of doing it. Now, another way mentioned in the Poskim is using Zion Tuvei Ho'ir, or Tuvei Ho'ir. Now, what are Tuvei Ho'ir? If you really want to go into it, I have this sefer here called Tuvei Ho'ir. It's 500 pages. We could have a whole series, you know, on Tuvei Ho'ir. It's a very interesting topic. It's a few lines. It's a very interesting topic called Tuvei Ho'ir. And we're just going to touch upon it right now. And we'll see that Tuvei Ho'ir also have the ability to choose Dayanim, to choose judges. In fact, Tuvei Ho'ir, where do we know? Tuvei Ho'ir means the eminent people of the city. The Gemara in Megillah talks about them in terms of they're the ones that can decide whether to sell a shul, to sell a sefer Torah. But they make decisions, they make the hard communal decisions. That's the Zion Tuvei Ho'ir included, and what they should be able to do is choose Dayanim, to choose the judges that are going to take care of disputes in the city. Now, how many Tuvei Ho'ir do you need to choose judges? So the Halacha Psukei brings from a lot of Poskim, Rashba, from the Ramadi, you need 7, and that's based on the Yerushalmi. So let's learn the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi in Megillah says like this. The Gemara Megillah is talking about this thing of selling shuls. The Gemara says like this. Shlosha, it's probably a braisa, Shlosha Mibes HaKnesses, the 3 Gaboyim from a shul, are Kibes HaKnesses, they are like the entire membership of the shul. Shiva Mnei Ho'ir, the 7 appointees of the city, Ko'ir, they are like the entire population of the city. In other words, what the 3 Gaboyim choose is like the will of the entire shul, and what the 7 Tuvei Ho'ir decide is as if the whole city made that decision as well. So Gemara wants to know what case we're talking about, at least in the case of Zion Tuvei Ho'ir. So Gemara says, Manan Kayomim, what's the case over here? The Mayas Kinan, we say in Bavli. Im Misha Kibu Aleihem, if we're talking where the citizens accepted these seven Tuvei Ho'ir, these are their chosen leaders, Afilo Echad. So even if they chose one person, we empower you to make decisions for us, so one person should be enough. Why is the Brides are saying you need 7 are like the city. And even Shirokiboim, and if these 7 people, they just happen to be chashev or rich and powerful, but they were never chosen by the people, Afilakami, even if they're 70, even if they're 100, who gave them the right to make a decision that you have to pay a tax, you have to whatever decisions you make for the city, or we're going to sell the shul. What right do you have to make that if you weren't appointed by the people? So Gemara says, Alakan Anan Kayanu Vistan. Here we're talking, they were appointed, but they weren't told, it wasn't specified what the job was. They were just said, you take care of all the needs of our city. So if there's seven, so then they have the right to take care of anything the city needs. Even the really hard decisions like choosing Dayanim, selling shuls, they could do whatever is needed for the city. But if they were not seven, you only have three or four, so then they can only do what their specified, what their job specification was. That you're in charge of taking care of this one area, they can only do that area, they can't do anything else. Like choose Dayanim. If they're in charge of the shul, they don't have the right to choose Dayanim. So based on this, this is what the Halacha Pesukah says, that if there are seven people who are leaders of the community, who are chosen by the community, so then they have the right to choose Dayanim for the community, and that will be a second way to make Dayanim Kavuin. You have them chosen by the Zion Tuva Yogir, or if they're not seven people who are the leaders of the community, if everyone voted for three people to make all decisions of the city, including specifically the right to choose Dayanim, to choose judges over us, so then the three people could choose Dayanim, because then they're like acting as the agents of the people, they're carrying out the will of the people. So really it's just an extension of the first way. To choose Dayanim of a city, if the people have to choose it, they can either directly elect them, or there's Zayin Tuvei Ho'ir, the seven people who are the leaders of the community, who the community chose to lead over all their affairs, they can choose the Dayanim on behalf of the people, and that'll work also. I mean, that seems to be clear. Now, that doesn't really help us too much in America, because in America we don't have Zayin Tuvei Ho'ir. Right? There's no communities that I know of that have this concept of Tuvei Ho'ir. Now, each shul, each individual shul, it could be that a board of a shul might be the Tuvei Ho'ir of a shul, and I think that's why boards have the right to sell a shul, to make those decisions. Right? But usually a shul doesn't have its own bezdin, but it could be that that would be enough. I mean, if there's seven members on a shul board, so then they could be Zayin Tuvei Ho'ir, and they'd have the right to pick Dayanim for any disputes in that. And that kehila possibly. So I'm not sure if that could be if there's seven there. But where it's really nogeyan, and that's what I want to get into, is in Eretz Yisrael. Because in Eretz Yisrael there's a whole shaila. There are a lot of people that are elected officials. There's a Knesset, and there's other officials that are voted in, and they have the power. They vote on the rabbanut, on the chief rabbis. And the shaila is the Knesset, do they have a din of Zayin Tuvei Ho'ir to say that the Dayanim that they choose will be chosen from these Tuvei, because they were elected from the people and they chose these people to be Dayanim? Will such a thing work? So I have some Ayin Rakamas from the contemporary poskim. First is the Sefer Dinei Mamonos we used in the past. He says that you can't do that because some of these Tuvei, to be a Tuvei Ho'ir, it's a whole section here, and to be a Tuvei Ho'ir you have certain qualifications. You have to be a Talmid Chacham, you have to be a Tzaddik, you have to be very Chashuv. And not everyone voted in to the Knesset fits that category. In fact, there's some people that aren't even Jewish in the Knesset. So that they should be called Tuvei Ho'ir, he holds, is stretching it too much. However, the Tzitz Eliezer, he quotes that Tzitz Eliezer holds that since they got a vote, it is like Kibla Aleihem, and he holds that they will have it in of Tuvei Ho'ir, and their people that they choose will have the authority of Bezin Kavua. Rav Vosner says, very good, he quotes Rav Vosner. Also, these aren't in their tshuvas, they're in different things they wrote. Rav Vosner says like this: one of the rules of a Tuvei Ho'ir is they have to make all their decisions based on the good of the community. I'm representing the community, and I'm making my decisions based on the needs of the community. Now, if I make my decisions based on political needs, what's going to get me elected next time? And even though it would really be good for me to raise taxes or to cut services, but I won't get elected next time, so then that's not for the good of the city anymore. Except unless you say, it's for the good of the city for me to get elected next time, and so maybe you could do that. But he holds that you can't assume that everything they do over there is for the good of the Tzibor. They can't, therefore cannot be considered to be representatives of the Tzibor, and therefore he holds that they cannot choose Dayonim. And I don't know what the meaning there is. So now, a way I'm not going to talk about is there's a whole other issue of Dinah Malchus Adina. There are certain governments that chose, especially in Europe, there are governments that chose Rabbanim and Dayonim for the community. Do they have any effect? So you would think at first not, but the Dinah Malchus Adina does play a role. The Ramah says it, and they bring Arayas from Nehemiah, Ezra. They were chosen by Koresh and Dayavish. They weren't chosen by the people that vote them in. And they were, if, as long as the people accept them, even since they were the combination of being appointed by a king and being accepted, could be a good combination also, but that's not again Lamaise at all, so we're not going to talk about that. So far we have two possible ways of electing Dayanim. The first way is direct choosing Dayanim. The first is electing them for the will of the people, however you find out what the people want. Once the people gave it, empower the Tuva Yair to take care of all their affairs, one of the things that the Tuva Yair will take care of will be the election of Dayanim. Now, in America, we have tshuvas, at least about New York, from the Poskim, that the situation in America seems to be bleak, because there's no way of electing the Dayanim. That doesn't seem to be practical, and also there's no Tuva Yair here. Just to quote, this halacha, reminding ourselves of this halacha we learned last week, that when there's a bezin kavu in the town, so no one has the right to choose any other bezin, even a zavla bezin. On that, the Aruch HaShulchan says that halacha still applies, at least in the Aruch HaShulchan's times in Europe. But he says, "Masha ein mochin ata kishecha ein arotz about the yonim hakavuim beir." Why don't we protest when someone chooses not to go to the bezin kavu in the town? That's the nation ein bichalteinu lamin mishpatei hadas altila. We don't have the power anymore to enforce anything, so we can't force him to come. Not that it's right. He says, "Havaldin osid lichen esadin b'fnei yodei talumas yimeinu tzedekita b'zef." He's trying to stonewall. He was wrong in not going to the Dayanim. He will be osid lichen esadin. He's going to be punished for it. But Aruch HaShulchan is like the first crack in this armor of the Bezdin Kavua by saying that right now we can't be mocha if they do it. We don't have the power anymore. It's just saying we don't have the power. Not that there's any halachic reason why they have the right, but we don't have the power to stop them. Now, Rav Moshe has a tshuva like this. It's important to read it inside, because I'm not sure if it's understood correctly all the time. Rav Moshe explains why there can't be any Bezin Kavua in New York. He says like this, "Ha the kasef ha-Ramah," that which the Ramah wrote that we saw in the last year, "Dim dayonim kavuim be'ir," that if they're established judges in the town, "lo yochel lomar lo odin lifneyem," you can't say, "I don't want to judge in front of them." "Ela b'zeh barer," "I want to have a zeh barer." So Rav Moshe says, "Hayozeh rak ba'ayara shemedin ha'senu." That only applied in cities in our old country, "Shayim ismanim me'ha'ir," where they were judges were appointed from the city. "Sha'af harav ha'avezin levadu nami ha'yochel ha'kufu me'achash ha'kiblu." Once the people accepted him, even one judge, even one, the Rosh Bezin, would be enough to force people to come to him and not to any other type of bezin. I will be in New York. Leka dayonim kavuyim shenismanim mehoir. In New York, there's no judges that the people voted in. Besides that, there's many, many groups. There's different groups of rabbanim in New York. There's this type of achdos, and there's this one. There's all different agudas, rabbanim, all different types of groups in New York. You didn't even have all the rabbanim of the city appoint anyone. Therefore, if one person wants a zablah, he has the right to insist upon a zablah. That's what Rav Moshe paskins. I also saw from Rav Liva's base, Avi says the same thing. Also, to be the words inside. Po beirenu, New York, here in New York, leka beidina de kviyeh, b'mos, we don't have a bezin kavua of the town. Came the yesh kama bati dinim, because we have so many courts here. Ve'ein l'shum bezin samchusha bezin kavua, none of them can be called the bezin kavua. Came the kol elcha yachol, because any person can say, ani mishayich lebezin peloni, you want me to, like we spoke about, you want me to go to the Belzer bezin, I belong to the Baba bezin, ve'ein l'shayich bezin zeh, you can't tie someone down to a particular bezin, there's so many there in New York. There can't be any Bezin Kavua. This Kuntris that I've been quoting from the Bezin Haroyim in Munsi says the same things. He says about the Dinim in our times, since they weren't chosen by the Kehila, they don't have the din of the Bezin Kavua that the Ramah was talking about. Now that's one side of the story. Others disagree with Rav Moshe, or they say Rav Moshe doesn't apply in their towns. First of all, the Darkei Choshen says, I think he doesn't agree with it. I don't know who he is to disagree with Rav Moshe, but he says that if, as long as the people recognize that these people are the Dayanim, even if they didn't choose them directly, that's enough, and you can't bring any riots from New York to other places. So it could be he would agree with Rav Moshe in New York, but in Eretz Yisrael he says it doesn't apply. Rav Osner is more directly, he has a more direct taina against Rav Moshe, but here also I'm not sure if he's disagreeing or he's just disagreeing with the facts, not disagreeing with Halacha. We can read him inside also. In the first tshuva in Chelaches, Simchin Beis, he says like this: Kol Adam Hashayich Le'ezek Kehila B'chol Hanyanim. Anyone that belongs to a certain Kehila. Kehila Hazos Ika Bezin Kavua, and that Kehila includes the Bezin Kavua. The Liridei Nefsha Bezin Kavua. So to him, he belongs to the Kehila. His Kehila has a Bezin Kavua. So that's his bezin. So if someone calls him to that bezin, ain sarach lo nevizav lo, he doesn't have to go to any zav lo, he has a bezin kavua. And then he goes further. V'gami mikol be'ir bezin mitzuraf mikama kehilas. If in the town there'll be a bezin that's combined from many different kehilas, right? He's taking one step further. If you belong to a kehila and your kehila has a bezin, so that's your bezin kavua. So one step further, if a few kehilas get together and they choose a bezin, so then that will be the Haim Gan Lefi Dinei Choshe Mishpat, they pass in Shailos based on Choshe Mishpat, and it's Harim Bechal Advarim Eshe Dayan, Tzichim Lizhar, they keep the rules of Dayanim, Dinam Kebetim Kavua Be'ir, that's considered the Bezim Kavua in the town also. So he's writing this to argue with Rav Moshe, we'll see from the next Shuvah, but the truth is, he's not really arguing with Rav Moshe, he's talking about a different case. Rav Moshe's whole taina was, in New York there can't be any Bezim Kavua because there's so many different groups over here. He belongs to this one, and the way the Beis Avi said, you said I belong to that Bezin Kavua. No, there's this other one. Right? That's what Rav Moshe was talking about. Shemir Levi is saying, Vosner is saying, that if the kehilas of the town, or certain kehilas of the town, even if not all of them, but you're in a town, and the one you belong to, and your friend, and then there's three or four got together to form a Bezdin, and the two Bali Din belong to those kehilas, so that will be the Bezdin Kavua that they are shayach to. And then he says in the next chelik test, he says like this: L'maita yesh bezdin kavua gam bizman hazeh linin hanal. We do have a bezdin kavua for this halacha of that preempting a zav law type of adjudication. Of a prat beir shalachem kiryat sefer. He was talking about people from kiryat sefer. Datem kavuim lakach lahoris l'rabim. You sit there to or your kavua to pass kinshayos for the rabim. The kibul asamalein, they accepted you upon them. The gam masha kazav agon baligros Moshe. What Rav Moshe wrote, lo shayich b'mikshalchem, doesn't apply to you because Rav Moshe was talking about a town where all kinds of different, but he didn't. But in Kiryat Sefer, apparently there's only one. The gam barim gedolim, even in the big cities, notisim edvarav agon kamavor lo ani kamani b'tshuva sham. I wrote against him also, which I'm saying I don't know if he's writing against him. I don't see him arguing with Rav Moshe. He's talking about a different case. Rav Moshe seems to be sound that if there are many but they did in Kavua in a town, so what are you going to force me to go to? There's nothing here that's not my best in Kavua. You know, I live over here, this neighborhood, there's another one over there, you know, why should that affect me? That's what Ramosh is talking about, and I don't see where he's arguing with that. I don't see any kind of against that. There's one thing I'm not clear about. I'll just say we have a few minutes before I get to the last part, and that is, to me, it seemed like last week, last year, when we were talking about this tshuva from the Avodas Gershuni, that there was no Bezim Kavua in the town, but there was a Bezim Kavua in the next town. But there was one, let's say here, there's no Bezim Kavua in Baltimore, but there's one in Columbia, say. And all the poskim went with Avodas Gershuni to say, you're mechuyah to go to that Bezim Kavua rather than have a Zavla in your town. Now, that's a Bezim Kavua. Let's say it's a real Bezim Kavua. Now, what makes me in Baltimore under the jurisdiction of that Bezin Kavua in Columbia? I mean, is he talking because it's close to me that I voted for it? It's hard to think that that's what he's talking about. It seems that there's a mila in a Bezin Kavua as just the fact that it's Beis Din Kavua, that it was elected by people, and it sits and passes in shilas all the time, there seems to be that advantage of a Beis Din Kavua, even if I don't happen to be a member of that kehila. So, if that's true, which it'd be chiddush to say it's true, but I don't know any other way of understanding that, but it's Gershuni. So that would mean when Rav Moshe and the Beis Avi are saying they're tiny, they're saying like this: if there'd be one Beis Din Kavua in the town, even if it's not my kehila, so then it could be I would be subject to it, because it's no different than if it's in the next town, because I don't daven there, it's not my shul, but it's a Beis Din Kavua if it became a real Beis Din Kavua. Yeah, I'm not sure, because then on the other hand, the Shevet Levi says, well, if you belong to the kehila that has a Beis Din Kavua, so then that's your Beis Din Kavua, and if they got together, so I'm not sure about that. And I spoke to a few people and I couldn't be convinced one way or the other. It's open shaila. Okay, so let's go talk about one last possibility that the poskim talk about. Once again, the best way to get a dayan kavua, vatei dinim kavua, is you have everyone elect them. The second way we talked about was tuvei ha'ir, which are like indirect from the people who had elected these tuvei ha'ir. They choose dayanim. Shaila is whether there's such a thing in Eretz Yisrael, at least nowadays, that we don't know about. And how about, though, if you don't have tuvei ha'ir, but you have the rabbanei ha'ir, choose dayanim. The rabbanim get together and they make a beis din. So, based on what the Shevet HaLevi said, he said that if kehilas would get together and they would make a beis din kavua, so that would count. But he could be talking where the people of the kehilas voted in that beis din kavua. All the people of the three or four kehilas in that section of town voted for dayanim. So they directly voted for the dayanim. So these dayanim would be binding on those kehilas, even though there's a minority that didn't like them. But the fact that the majority of those members chose those dayanim, that makes them a beis din kavua. But suppose it's not that the members of the kehila chose the dayanim, but it's the rabbanim of the kehila chose the dayanim. They chose dayanim. So the Rashba says like this. The Shuvas HaRashba Chelakei Simen Reishma, and he has a lot of Shuvas in this sugya. This Tuvei Ha'ir brings down Keseder, but this is one Shuvah he brings down. Im Ein HaMamunim Roshim Al Ha'am, if the people that were appointed were not the heads of the people, Ein Basipul HaHachrim, they have no right to make any Chayrims or any Takonas, Elo Im Ken Yaskimu Imam Rov HaTzibur the Tamidei Chacham Shavir, unless every Rov of the Tzibur and the Tamidei Chacham agree with their Takonas. Based on this, this Tuvei Ha'ir says that if the rabbanim of a town would get together and make a takana, we want to make a bezin, we want these people to be the dayanim, it won't work because they weren't appointed for that. They don't have the right to make such a bezin. The only way it'll work will be, he says, based on the Rashba, if the rov of the tzibur is maskim to it, so then, in that case, they'll be like Tuvei Ha'ir. Right? And that's what he's saying, is the rabbanim will be like Tuvei Ha'ir, who only have the right to do what they were specifically chosen to do. So since the rabbanim were not chosen to pick dayanim, so they have no right to do it. They're like three tuvei ha'ir. They're not seven tuvei ha'ir. If though the people agree to it, so then they're agreeing with what these tuvei ha'ir did. So then the will of the majority will have an effect on the minority also. That's what he says. Now Rav Moshe, even though he was writing against the possibility of having Beis Din Kavua in New York, but in there he said one of the reasons you can't have a Beis Din in Kavua in New York is Shaleka Afmina Mikol HaRabbanim Shavir. He said because since there's so many different groups here, everyone's choosing their own Beis Din, and you don't have all the Rabbanim of the city choosing the Dayanim, so that's a reason why in New York you don't have a Beis Din Kavua. That's mashma that if you would have a town where the Rabbanim of the city would choose the Beis Din, it's not everyone choosing different ones, but the Rabbanim would choose a Beis Din. So he's saying that that will work. Now, how much will it work? Will it work as a preemptive Beis Din, even if no one votes for it? Or does he mean like the Rashba and Tuvei Ha'ir that it means that it will work if the people agree with it? He doesn't say, but at least you see from him that that will work. Also from the Tuvei from Beis Avi. The only reason he said there was no Beis Din Kavua in New York was because there's so many different groups. If it just be one, he's not saying he'll be voted, so that there's really no raya from it. But for Moshe, it seems there's a raya that if the Rabbanim were to choose Dayan, and that would work. Now, this Dinei Bavarus, another sefer I've been bringing, it's also a big thick sefer from the same Mochon Shar Mishpat. He says like this, he spoke to Rav Yitzchak Kulitz, who was the Rosh Beis Din in Yerushalayim. So Rav Kulitz said that a Rav should have the ability, should have the authority to choose Dayanim. Why? Because when he's chosen to be a Rav, what's his job? He has to answer Shailas and Aruch Chaim. And he has to answer Shailas and Evan Ezer and Shailas and Yeradeh. And he has to answer Shailas and Choshen Mishpat. But that's the function of a Rav. Now, since that's his function, so he can also have the authority he holds to choose Dayanim also, because he's not going to answer all the Shailas, and he can't. He's the one person. So in order to help the Choshen Mishpat, the monetary disputes of a community, he has that authority to choose Dayanim also. So according to this Vara, you wouldn't even need the people to agree with it. The fact that the Rabbanim decided that we want these people to be the Dayanim, since the Rabbanim have the authority, they have the requirement, they have the obligation to decide Choshen Mishpat matters of their Kehila, if they decide that they want to have a Beis Din, so that's a way of helping out the Choshen Mishpat issues, you know, certainly in their own Kehila. Whether it would work for others, so then it would be the same svara again, that if, you know, different Rabbanim of different Kehilas choose that this is their Beis Din, so that would be a Beis Din Kavua. Now, who will that work for? It will work for the people that belong to that Kehila, because that's what the Sheva Levi said, Rav Osler, because, you know, that's part of what their Kehila accepted, certainly if they accept it. Will it have anything, any effect on people that don't go to those shuls that chose it? So that's not so clear. That'll depend on this Chakir I said before, is the Beis Din Kavua. The fact that it's a Beis Din Kavua, that means that everyone has to go to that Beis Din Kavua because you established it, or does it have to be your Beis Din Kavua? Do you have to be a member of it? So they might not be considered members of it. On the other hand, you might say, well, if Rove of the, if these shuls represent Rove of the people in the town, and the people in the town voted for these Rabbanim to be like their Tuvei Yoyir, and those Tuvei Yoyir chose these Dayanim, so then it could be that that will help if you get to Rove the people that are Shayach to these Svaras. So, and that's, that is not so clear. So let's just review what we have until now, what we do know, what we don't know. Know what we do know, and that is, number one way to choose Dayanim is direct election from the people. Rove the people choose Dayanim. That works based on the Gemara and Bracha, so we learned in this week's Parsha from Betzalel that they consult with the people, and that's how you choose Dayanim. The number two way is Tuvei Ha'ir, people that are appointed with either specifically for this role of the people to choose Dayanim, or if it's seven Tuvei Ha'ir, Zayin Tuvei Ha'ir, where the assumption is that they have the right to choose Dayanim, just like they have the right to sell a shul, to do Chomer Tikkun things. One of them is like they could choose Dayanim, that's Tuvei Ha'ir also. Now, what's called Tuvei Ha'ir? In Eretz Yisrael, we have the Shaila, is the Knesset considered Tuvei Ha'ir? That seems very doubtful. In America, will Rabbanim be Tuvei Ha'ir? Right, so that will be also, well, it's a machlokas, that's all I could say. You know, according to Ramosha, he seems to be saying that they do have some power. According to the Rashba and the Sefer Tuvei Ha'ir, they have the power if the people agree with it. The combination of them, the people agreeing with their takana plus them making the takana gives them that power as Tuvei Ha'ir. And according to Rav Kulitz, just the very fact that they're a Rav and that they have the responsibility of taking care of Choshen Mishpat Shailos, that gives them the right to appoint Dayanim also. Now, how far will that affect? Will it affect only the shul where those Rabbanim chose it, or will it affect the rest of the city? And that will depend on the Chakir we spoke about, and I'm not sure. And you can ask once again your local Orthodox rabbi. And that's, I think, the main issues in Dayan Kavua. The next 2 weeks, we'll talk about, before Pesach, we'll talk about the issues that occur with Zavla. Next week, we'll talk about talking about the case before it's heard by both sides. And we'll talk about paying off the Dayanim. That'll be the next 2 weeks, and then we'll take our Pesach break. Right?